Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. All right.
Welcome. We're so glad to have you with us.
Don't mind us. We're all sitting here eating nuts.
And shrimp.
And shrimp. So all right.
Have yourself a snack and have a good time.
Evening Blog Talk. Good evening to you, YouTube. Good to have you with us. I do not recommend that when you start a program that you have just taken a handful of peanuts and then start the program. And it's just not good video. But for all of you that joined us by YouTube, just come on in. This is just us. We're going to have a good time tonight. And, Sister Rebecca shared something with us the other day. And I just really am inspired to share it with you. So, if you give me just a minute, we'll have it up here. And, I speak this all the time about dreams, about visions, about God speaking to you in the night season.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my goodness. It is a real, it is a reality on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that I started YouTube and Blog Talk Radio, and I've told you about this, it is now time to use your faith so that the app will work. Amen. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 God is working mightily around the world. And I have heard this testimony over and over again of people seeing the man in the white robe. And, when they do, especially the Muslims, it changes them because there's something in the Muslim faith about, I'm trying to talk and click at the same time.
It's a challenge, isn't it?
Tonight it is for some reason. There's something in the Muslim faith that is very specifically about the man in the white robe. It's interesting because when they see him, they submit to him. It's interesting. They're out here killing people in the name of God. If you say Jesus, they're after you. But as soon as they see the man in the white robe, they submit to him.
Wow.
And it's like the Apostle Paul on the road to Emmaus. He wasn't on the road to Emmaus, so he was on the road to Damascus. The other disciples were on the road to Emmaus. It doesn't say that Saul of Tarsus saw a man in a white robe. It just said he met Jesus on the road and Jesus knocked him down. I think Jesus sucker punched him right in the jaw because he was such a sucker. Is that a little bit of the truck driver or the biker coming at me? Was it really? Is it wrong?
Normal. Normal. Normal.
There you go. See.
I kind of thought that Paul, Saul, deserved the sucker punch too.
Yeah, he did.
Well, here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus met him on the road and Saul of Tarsus bumped into him. And the Bible very specifically says that the anointing destroys the yoke. All right? Saul of Tarsus was the yoke. Saul of Tarsus was the yoke. And that yoke had to be destroyed. And that day, Saul had two choices, heaven or hell. Submit or resist. Life or death. It was what you see all the way through the Word of God. And when his body hit the ground and he can't see and he hears the voice, he says, "What do you want from me, Lord?" And he called him Lord. And at that moment, Jesus said, "You get to live. You get to live." I don't think that Jesus was planning on letting him live that day. Now, maybe, well, you know Jesus. He always has faith that we don't have. But Jesus showed up that day to destroy the yoke. Maybe that's in Jesus. And I got to change my comments right now. But it's all right. I don't mind. I'll change my comments. Hold on just a second. Somebody else talk for just a minute so I can type.
Okay, you know, God gives his children a spanking because he wants them to turn around and do what's good and right. He had plans for Saul, whom he named Paul, and therefore he just had to give him a little, you know, like one little slap us beside the head.
Now wait, Phyllis. You just used my terminology. I thought that was Eastern Kentucky. But Sister Phyllis just said a slap upside the head. And that's exactly what them Eastern Kentucky mamas would say. They'd look at you and say, "You want me to slap you upside your head?" And I don't know what slap upside your head.
I know I read that
head.
In Matthew somewhere. I'll have to look that up and get back with you.
But, you know, we all knew what that meant down there. We didn't necessarily know the definition of upside your head. What's the upside of your head? But it meant I'm going to cuff you right across the ears. You better get your act together. And there wasn't many who didn't get their act together. Because you didn't need to get beat down by a Southern mama. Anyways. Now, it took me that long, but I found the video. Let's see. Hold on just a second. I thought I already found this. All right. Let's see how this works. All right. I want to play this because tonight I have a title on tonight's program of One with the Father Reaching the World. Love, can you see YouTube? Isn't that something? Here we go. I want to play this video for you. I know people, if you have a problem with me showing a video, get over yourself. because these are the testimonies that are the living proof of what we teach every day right here. This is the story of a former Iranian Hezbollah member sharing his encounter with Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow is the right word. So, having said all of that, this is what we have to say. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord with you tomorrow. No. Here we go. Let's share the screen. This is going to be a great testimony. You're going to enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, well, we'll deal with you afterwards.
I just loved it.
All right. Here we go.
so I said, I
That's why I became a Christian. So I pray to God in the Bible.
So those of you that's on YouTube, could you hear it because it had music? Oh, I could hear it when I was outside. What an amazing testimony. What an amazing testimony. Now, I want you to see this. So, John chapter 14. Go there with me. John 14. I welcome you. My goodness, what a... This is what you learn about many Muslims. They truly do want to know God, but the Muslim faith doesn't allow you to know God.
Right.
So when it comes to knowing God, they don't believe that's even possible. However, you and I who do know God know that it's possible. And, you know, get this video and share it. Matter of fact, share tonight's program with people. And we will help people find Jesus. Now, for any of you who just watched that video on YouTube, okay, if you go back when this video is done, you can see this guy's name, Eustace Anthony. Go back and look that up. Look him up so that If you're a Muslim person and you want to know more from that situation, this man will help you. Come back to his channel. Go to his social medias, whatever you can find him. You can find his name. It's right there in that video. And we can put the video up here on our stream also, because we want you to be connected. Here's the reality of it. We talk all the time here about being one with the Father. We've studied it now for 2 days, two different points of view. We're going to study again tonight. One with the Father, and then, what did I say, saving the whole world? Who knows the title tonight?
One with the Father reaching the world.
Well, Pastor, you're the pastor. You should know it. Well, yeah, but then there's so many different titles that we use that sometimes if you don't read the title that's in front of you, you're not going to get it in the right wording. John 14. Say again?
I love this title.
All right. And let's start with verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to Thomas, asking a question, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. The three doors of the wilderness tabernacle were named, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The way brought them to the truth, and that gave them life, the inner sanctuary. Amen. It's good preaching. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now watch. 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Why? Amen. Somebody stop the share. There, is that better? Still dark. Darkness will cover the earth and the screen. Gross darkness to people of the earth.
It's getting better.
It's getting better as we go. Now, I'm in verse number 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. And Jesus is like, Philip, have I been with you so long, and you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Why could Jesus say that to him? Because he was one with the Father. Right?
Yep.
Let me just ask the question. Can people see the Father in you? I sure hope so. I know. There's a whole bunch of us right now saying, oh, no, I sure hope so. Wait, do they see you as one with the Father or just a religious nut? I'm going to give myself a high five since nobody else gave me one. Because the last...
Can I call you a religious nut as well as ever be one with the Father?
All right, Phyllis, I'll let you call me a religious nut, but not some other people. But
I
you know,
love you just the way you are, baby.
but you know, here's the reality, because it's there ain't a thing wrong with being radical for Jesus. Yeah, I mean, the book of Acts says about the disciples that the leaders in that one city said, these are the men that have turned this world upside down. And then they said, and they're Galileans of all those things you could imagine. Who'd have thought a Galilean could turn the world upside down? You know what their next statement was? They could tell that they had been with Jesus. That's the next statement about them. They could tell that they had been with Jesus. What does that mean? They were one with the Father. The power and the presence of Almighty God was coming out of them. The relationship with the Father was coming out of them. They had been alone with the Father, had a relationship all of their own, and now they're one with God. Now, guys, that's not because Peter had a big degree. James had an Ivy League, you know, background. They were born with a silver spoon in their mouth, as the old statement. They weren't eaten from a gold plate. As a matter of fact, when Jesus met Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, they'd fished all night and caught nothing. They weren't doing very good. However, when they met Jesus, Jesus filled their boats. And it not only filled the boat of Peter, but Peter's like, hey, y'all, come on over here and help me catch this load of fish. You know what would have happened if they'd had three boats? They'd have filled them up.
Yeah.
If they'd had four boats, they'd have filled them up. Why? Because the fish didn't come from the lake. The fish came through the lake. Jesus heard what the Father said to do. Jesus saw what the Father was doing, and he went to that one spot right there in the lake and said, now, Peter, cast your net out right there for a great draught or a great catch of fish. And Peter's like, all right. So he throws the net out, and he's like, lo, can you imagine a boatsman, a fisherman, professional fisherman, and he throws that net out, and all of a sudden he can start feeling that net while it's filling up, and the knots are tightening on the net, and the ropes are straining, and the boat begins to rock a little bit, and Peter's like, uh-oh, I just caught me a boat load of fish. Excuse me. And he's like, it's too much. Andrew, I mean, James, John, come with your boat. They're like, what, Peter? And Peter's like, there's a big load of fish out here. How long did it take them to get their boat out to them? They weren't just a rowboat. This is a commercial fishing vessel. Think about what Jesus is saying to Thomas. You've been with me for 3 years and watched everything I did, and you're going to say you don't know the Father yet? If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Sister Sunday Geyser, we call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. We call you filled with health and strength in Jesus' mighty name. We declare the blessing of the Lord that's in your life manifest in every area in Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's keep reading. Verse 10, John 14, 10. Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does these works you're seeing. So literally in the kingdom of God, you and I are supposed to have works that people can see and say, it's obvious you know God. Well, many of us around here, anybody that comes and sees this gathering of believers, it might not be your cup of tea to have this kind of teaching like this and do it like we do, but that's all right. There's 8 billion people on the world, and if we all looked alike, what kind of a world would we have? It'd be a weird place, man. I'll tell you, I was in California last week and saw some sea lions and some seals. The sea lions bark, lousy critters, just loud. And them seals, they just quiet as can be. Can you imagine if every penguin, every seal, every otter barked like a sea lion? It'd be a noisy place. But see, that's not what God did. God made the sea lion bark and the seal not. He made the little penguin have his flippers swim like crazy in the water. And then God made that creature called the platypus. I mean, that's a duck with a bill that swims underneath the water like a fish. That's an interesting creature right there. That duck-billed platypus kind of looks like a muskrat duck fish kind of thing. Anyways, Jesus looked at the disciples and said, do you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? Verse 11, he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the work themselves. This is Jesus telling them, I am one with the Father. And three chapters later, Jesus prays to the Father, help them be one with you like you are with me and I am with you. Three chapters later, he's praying that. Why? It's just a matter of a few minutes where they were, because it was the last time they were going to receive the Passover together. Why? Jesus was going out that night to become the Passover lamb. Now, verse 12, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, that's Jesus, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater than these, greater works, he will do, because I go to my Father. Now, the number one reason we're going to do greater works than Jesus is the Holy Spirit of God, who anointed Jesus, is also anointing us. So on the earth in Jesus' time, if you wanted that fivefold ministry anointing, you had to find Jesus somewhere where he was at. In our day, the fivefold ministry gift is everywhere around the kingdom. And every one of us are anointed by the same Holy Spirit power that Jesus was anointed by. Somebody ought to shout, hallelujah, glory be to God, thank you, Jesus. Now, let's do this.
Hallelujah, glory be to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Woo! Let's go over here. Let's go over here to Acts chapter 3. And we're going to kind of just run around in chapter 3 and 4. Don't, you know, we'll get it all said. But this is a great illustration of the truth that you and I are sharing. Now, when you study the events of Jesus' suffering and crucifixion, when you study it, you'll see that all of the disciples left him, betrayed him. Matter of fact, John, they started to come after John, the Apostle John, and it scared him, and he ran right out of his clothes. He ran down the street naked because they grabbed a hold of his coat, and he said, yeah, I can ditch that too. I got another one at home. And they all left him and betrayed him. And they all felt very horrible about it. And then they felt like they were next because everywhere they went, they locked the doors. So Jesus would walk right in through the wall. Say, hey, how you guys doing? And they'd be like, oh, Jesus, we just watched you die. Mary said you're raised from the dead. And now you're walking in the wall. That's not helping my insecurity problems I'm feeling right now in my life. But see, Jesus was revealing himself and an infallible proof to them, letting them know what just happened on purpose. I told you it was going to happen. Now it happened, and you can be confident in it. Then, of course, he told them, you tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. And they did. And when they came out of the upper room, having received the Holy Spirit's power, they were flaming evangels. And 3,000 people were saved that day in the city of Jerusalem on the day of the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell. John, or Acts chapter 3. Now look at this. This is One with the Father reaching the world. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. Can I get an I love the word from anybody?
I love the word.
I love the word.
I love the word.
Woo! You may not be used to a preacher acting like me. You don't have to even get used to it. But just hang out for tonight because it's going to be a good night. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Keep pointing at your watch, love, if you will. Mm-hmm. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. What's the hour of prayer for you and me? We're supposed to pray without ceasing, so that's every hour. I was just checking to see if you've been reading your Bible lately. A certain man lame from his mother's womb. His mother's womb. They had a good dog. Verse 3, who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Alms for the poor. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us, man. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive some coins from them. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have for you. But what I do have, I give you. Guys, in order to give it, you got to have it. You see the principle? So you got to have God. You got to come to the revelation. God the Father lives in me. The power of the Holy Spirit lives in me. Jesus the Christ lives in me. And they're trying to get out through my hands, my feet, my eyes, my ears, my nose, my sneeze, my laugh, whatever it is. Peter said, silver and gold we do not have for you today. But what we do have, we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Huh. How soon? Immediately. Immediately. You know why sometimes miracles haven't happened? When we've seen somebody prayed for, they want a miracle, but they're not using their faith to get one. They want somebody else to use their faith so that they can have a miracle. Just thought I'd let that soak in for a minute. Jesus, all through his ministry, said, what do you want me to do for you? And then if they said, heal me or something, then he would do it. Jesus asked the Father, do you believe? And he said, I do believe, Lord, but I got some unbelief on the inside. But he was truthful with Jesus. And Jesus helped him to get rid of his unbelief and healed the young man. Look at this, says. Verse 8, he leaping up, stood, walked, entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Wouldn't you be walking and leaping if you'd been laying there for 38 years?
Amen.
And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, 11. Nope. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. As the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And Peter saw it, and he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look intently at us as though by our own power or godliness We made this man walk. Do you remember what Jesus just said over here in John chapter 14? The works that I do, it's because the Father is working in me. He does the work.
Amen.
How many times have you and I prayed for somebody and we were actually trying to get it done in our own prayer? Come on, let's get real with this tonight. Think about it. I mean, this is serious. How many times have you and I prayed for somebody and they didn't get a prayer answer?
Oh, my.
That's not God. There's no place in the New Testament in Jesus' ministry where he gives you an example of what to do when somebody doesn't believe. No, what an example of what to do when his prayer failed and they weren't healed. When he prayed, they got healed. But see, there's a couple factors to that. Were you just praying for somebody because they were sick? There's nothing wrong with that, except Jesus went into the porch that day, and there were sick people laying everywhere, and he healed one person. Why? Because it's the only person the Father sent him in there to heal. You might say, Pastor, that don't even make sense why the Father wouldn't heal everybody. Well, I got a word from you. Our personal experiences doesn't change the word of God, so when you get to heaven, take it up with the Father, but be very careful as you do it. Like Dr. Summerall said to the one guy when he heard him praying, he said, Brother Summerall, I don't think I don't think I would pray to God that way. And Brother Summerall said, you better not. He'd probably squash you because you don't have a relationship with him. But he said, I have that relationship. I can talk to God that way. Do you realize how much of a relationship the Father wants to have with you and I? Like, seriously. Jesus prayed that they may be one, Father, as we are one. I think some people's problem, including me, is I just talk too much.
I think that's common for a lot of us.
And you laughed at me when you said that, and I wasn't even offended. See, when you see someone, I've seen three very, very miserably lame people in the last 3 months. Very. And I'm like, would you put those people in front of me for me to pray for them? I love to pray for people. I love to see healing. I walked out of the shower in one of the truck stops, and there's this man standing there, and he is, like, seriously deformed. And but cussing up a storm. But that don't, cussing don't freak God. So I stopped to talk to him. I'm trying to see, you got any kind of spirituality, and can you tell anything that I'm going to stand here and pray for you right now, and you're going to be healed? And there was nothing in the man at all. And I was there for a while. It was one of those nights when I really had to get some sleep. And I'd taken my shower, and I'm like, I want to pray for this guy, but Jesus only prayed for what he saw the Father pray. And the man was seriously deformed. And I totally wanted to see him walk out of there well. But then when you try to say words and they're not there, guess what that means? Don't give that person another prayer to hate God for. Right? Casting your pearls before the swine.
To be willing to receive it.
And they have to have a desire. And I'm sure there was people who went away from Jesus' meeting saying, from time to time, saying, well, I didn't get healed. Yeah, but did you want to be healed? Well, he never came and talked to me. But see, that proves you don't want to be healed, because you would find a way to get there so you could be healed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The woman with the issue of blood said, well, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she went out in the street and found a way to touch the hem of his garment. Let's get back to our set of verses in Acts chapter 4, or 3. Peter said, don't look at us as though it's by our holiness that we did this. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm verse 13. The God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate. 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. The name of Jesus. That's how Peter started. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. His name and faith in his name made this man strong. Well, Pastor, did you have enough faith to pray for that person? I have enough faith to do anything God gives me to do. But if he assigns you to it, you already have enough faith to do it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So as I walked away, I said, Father, bring that man back across my path. And then he did. He still had the same harsh, hard, crass edge. And bring him across my path again. Put the desire for God and the desire to be healed on his lips. Yeah, amen. Amen? Wait, you ready? In a vision, in a dream, in the night, while deep sleep falls upon him, and I pray deep sleep does fall upon him. Well, what have you just done with that kind of prayer over somebody? Is number one, you cause them to have deep sleep because you're praying for it. How many of us want to be able to fall asleep and have deep sleep?
Amen. Yeah.
I don't like it when I fall asleep for 20 minutes and then wake up. I don't like that. I like to fall asleep and wake up about 3 o'clock in the morning and say, wow, I wonder what time it is. I feel completely rested. You know, that's a good way to do it, because your body went totally into that deep sleep and it was restored and it was renewed. And God said in the book of Job, while you sleep, how did that Muslim man we just listened to, how did he know God like that? Except God was speaking to him in his sleep. God was speaking to him. 16. I'm in Acts 3:16. It's kind of like John 3:16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, this faith which comes through him, Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And they came together, and they were like, what do we do to be saved? And Peter said, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now, watch this. Acts 4. Now Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin, a bunch of religious gobbledygooks, all right? Caiaphas is there. Annas is there, John is there, Alexander is there, all the political leaders and the spiritual leaders is there. How can you discern who is the swine and who is the pearl? Okay, the pearl of great price is Jesus and the living word. And the swine is anyone who will just not receive it. We'll continually learn it, Roger, because you'll walk up to people and you'll try to say something to them about God, and your words will be like it just hits a wall and falls to the ground. Pig or dog, that's what that is.
or worse yet, argue with you. And
right. Or worse yet, argue religiously with you. As soon as somebody starts to argue religiously with you, just stop, walk away. It'll hurt your feelings, but that's all right. If something doesn't help them to change, they're going to keep going in the same way. And all that religious spirit wants is something to argue about.
Yeah.
Don't give it to them. Don't give it to them. Good question, though. Who is the swine? Anybody who doesn't root for Michigan, University of Michigan.
Kidding, Roger.
That's a joke, all right?
How about if you don't ever watch any of those, sports on TV?
Don't. It's not worth your time. Amen, sister. Here we go. I'm in Acts 4:8. Peter filled with the Holy Spirit and said, rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. This is the man that was running and cursing Jesus, saying, I don't even know him. And now he's in front of all the people that killed Jesus, and boldness has come on him. He ain't afraid of one of them. If this day we are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you bunch of fools crucified, God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Now, this is a stone which was rejected by the builders. Cicely Ann wanted to read that verse. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which you might be saved. And when they saw that the boldness of Peter and John, look at this, and they perceived they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Now, you don't have to go to Galilee and stand out on the seashore and say, oh, Jesus, come to me. Walk on the water like you did to Peter. Call me out. I won't fall down in the water like Peter. I'll walk on top. So you don't have to do that. All of that is already done. All you got to do is receive him in to you and then receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And then begin to get your mind renewed to the word of God and the ways of God. Remember what Jesus prayed? Wait, we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord is teaching the disciples to pray. So it really should be called the Disciples' Prayer. The Lord's Prayer we read over here in John chapter 16 and 17, or John chapter 17. But watch this. What did Jesus teach the disciples to pray? Thy kingdom come to this earth as the kingdom in heaven is. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as your will is being done in heaven. Well, what does that mean? That means we're bringing heaven to earth and installing heaven down here on earth. That's why Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Says, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion, and replenish this earth. That's what the Bible, that's what the good book says on page one. Of course, unless you got a really small Bible, that might be two. Plan was from the beginning that we would be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. God's plan was not for us to be sinful. God's plan was Adam and Eve would just do right. God's plan was Adam and Eve's kids would just do right. God's plan was with 8 billion people on the earth, we would all still be doing right. Well, wait a minute. Think about it. If we were actually living in this day right now and nobody had ever sinned, Adam and Eve would still be alive, right? Noah would have never had to build an ark. All those people that died in the flood would still be alive. The multi-millions of people that have died in wars, useless wars, they would still be alive. See, when we realize the true problem of the earth is sin, and we realize God comes and makes his abode on the inside of us and gets rid of sin and gives you righteousness, all of a sudden we realize God solved this problem a long time ago, and it's just the religious nature of man, the spirit of religion teaching us to just go to a building, act religious, look religious, talk religious, and not actually have the presence and power of God in you at all. And yet God himself comes to live within you so that the presence and power of God is actually living in you, moving on the inside of you. Here's Peter, James, and John. Well, actually, it's Peter and John. I don't know where James went, but God bless him. Sherry's out doing something, but this is Peter and John, two of the closest disciples to Jesus. And they were scared and running scared. They're no longer afraid. And standing in front of that Sanhedrin, they ain't worried about it. Peter's real bold. You guys killed him. And he rose again. Ha, ha, ha. Nana, nana, nana. Verse 14. And seeing the man who'd been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Nothing. That's why you had to walk away from this person. That's right, Rodney. What shall we do to these men? Verse 16, notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. And so they called them and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Peter and John said, whether it's right in the eyes and the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. But we cannot, we will speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's one of those double negative verses that bother me. Listen to this verse. For we cannot but speak. That just doesn't make sense to me. I know it's an English process. It's a composition process. It's a double negative, making it a positive. And that's supposed to put more emphasis on it. But to me, that's just not right. When all they had to say is, we will speak the things we have seen and heard. Where the man was 40 years old. And now let's go over here to 38. Acts 4, and let's go to 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Because they threaten them. Look on their threats. And grant to us, your servants, that with great boldness we may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. When the place, and when they prayed, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together shook. It was shaken. Shaken and a bacon. Now watch. Oh, I thought it gave a number right there. Well, anyways, verse 32. The multitude of them who believed were of one heart and one soul. And great, great strength came upon the church. Now listen to this statement. We started our program with a testimony of a man who had given himself to the height of Muslimness.
Yeah.
I mean, Hezbollah. They're wicked people. They're wicked. I And he gave himself to that completely. What did he say? He prayed for 7 days and got nothing from them. And yet the moment he said, well, I'm done with that, then God Almighty come in the room and said, it's done with that. How about you receive me? Now, guys, since God Almighty and Jesus are working that hard in the world to get people saved, why are we afraid to speak a word for him? Because if he tells you to speak a word to somebody, he's already been speaking to them about what to do with their life. And yet, I hear people say all the time, yeah, but Pastor, I don't want to offend them. Hell's going to offend them. Hell will offend them very bad. For eternity, speak the word. Why? Because Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is leading you to speak, God Almighty has already been there to speak. Now, this one situation I'm telling you about with the man, very deformed. I am still praying that one. As soon as he drove away, he did a semi. He's driving. As soon as he drove away, well, as soon as I went to my truck and he went to his. I think you're really trying to reach this guy. I mean, I've just seen him 3 times in 2 days. And now you put him right outside the door of my shower room, and I walk out, there he is. There's nothing coming out of his mouth that doesn't seem like that wants help. And so, Holy Spirit, bring him across my path. And every single day since then till now, give him a dream. Give him a vision and give him a revelation in the middle of the night while deep sleep falls upon you. Everybody raise your hand and say, Father, I'll take some of that deep sleep.
Father, I'll take some of that deep sleep.
I'll take some of that deep sleep for my life. Amen? And talk to me in the night season. I had a dream last night about my grandson. Interesting dream. And so in it, I say, wow. I like how Brother Lou Engle talks about dreams. He said, take each item, each circumstance processed in a dream and shine it and see what gold or silver, fine jewels it is in God's kingdom for your life. That's how you interpret dreams. And remember that the first time, the first thought that you have about a dream may not be what that dream is all about. In the end, when you finally start seeing it come to pass, and you're like, oh, that's what that's about. That's what that's about. And so anytime you have a dream like that, you wake up and you've had a dream, write it down. Get a piece of paper and a pen and immediately start writing down what your dream was. Why? Because then you can go back and you can read that in prayer. Father, I had this dream. I know you've given me dreams because I know Pastor Sam, and that means he's praying for me, right? If you know me, I'm praying for you to have dreams. And my prayers get answered because I know he hears my prayers. I know I have the petition that I ask, and I'm asking that every one of you that I know your name find out who God is. I don't need you to find out who church and religion is. I need you to find out who God is. And I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that you have it in a dream. The cool thing about a dream is it's technicolor vision. Your eyes see it. And once you stop resisting God speaking to you while you sleep, now all of a sudden the eyes of your understanding can be flooded with enlightenment, and you can begin to know and understand the things and the ways of God in Jesus' mighty name. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
Well, where do we go? Oh, I'm in verse 30. Acts 4, 29 and 30. By stretching out your hand to heal, who is the hand of Jesus? You and me. Stretching out your hand to heal. That signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. and the man was healed. And Peter, James, and John left, and there was nothing the spiritual, there was nothing that the leaders could do, because had they beaten the man, the men who had just created, who had just seen this great miracle, then there would have been a mob and a riot, and they would have had to turn the whole city upside down with the soldiers, and nobody wants to have that process go on in your kingdom when you're the, when you are the political leader of that kingdom. You just be, people don't want that. No, 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 no. No, you be good, and we'll be good, and everybody just be at peace here. Especially, there's a notable miracle. That's what they said. There's a notable miracle that's going to be done. Now, you ready for this? I want you to say this out loud with me. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Everybody that knows my name.
Everybody that knows my name.
And everybody whose name I know.
And everybody whose name I know.
That's two different groups of people. Give them a dream.
Give them a vision.
Speak to them while they sleep.
So they know you.
And they get to be in heaven with us. In Jesus' name. Now see, you, did you mean that prayer? Yeah, I did too. I pray that prayer every day, every night. Why? I've met so many people in my lifetime. There was a period in my life when I might have known 150, 200 people. I know 50,000 people now. I've got 50,000 people that know me. I don't know 50,000, but I know there's 50,000 that know me. That's a big number. I'm not gonna stand before Jesus without having prayed a blanket prayer. Father, anybody that knows my name on the face of this earth in a dream, in a vision, in the middle of the night, while deep sleep falls on them, and may deep sleep fall on them, help them, fix them, grant them. Now all of a sudden, what does the enemy do? Because he can't stop that prayer of love that came out of my mouth. He can't stop that prayer. No weapon that is formed against us can prosper. So when you and I are standing in the gap making up the hedge, there's nothing that can stop that prayer. Yeah, but Pastor, don't you know? I've been praying for God to break their bones and make them sick and get them down, help them hit that wall so they'll finally come to Jesus. That's what's wrong with you. You're being a manipulative witch about it. We don't pray for bad things to happen to people so they can meet a good God. Just pray the Bible. Show them an infallible proof in a dream, in a vision, in the middle of the night. Stand the gap up the hedge so their lives will change. What you just do, you just changed all those people's lives. And if you truly mean it in faith in here, you're not just blabbing words. If you meant that prayer in here, it's the verses in 1 John. I know you heard my prayer. I know that I will have the petition that I ask. And guess what that means? All these people that know me, I get to see them all in heaven. I'm already rejoicing for the victory. Why? Because I'm going to see them in heaven. See, now all of a sudden, any place in your life where you messed it up, or maybe you didn't mess it up, maybe somebody else messed it up, or maybe it wasn't somebody else messing up, it was just straight up opposition of the enemy. And yet you wanted to reach all these people around you. You loved them. They were good people. Well, guess what? Now you can just pray a simple prayer in the vision, in a dream, in a night, while they're sleeping, talk to them. And what's God showing them? He's showing them an infallible proof. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. I mean, think about the disciples. The disciples are freaked. They just watched Jesus get beat to the point where he can't even stand up. And there's nothing that the disciples can do. They're afraid if they walk up front and say, I'm one of Jesus' disciples. They are afraid the same thing's going to happen to them. So they have to watch their master, their rabbi, being killed right in front of them. Can you imagine that first night when the crucifixion was done and the news began to go around the city, the veil of the temple's been rent in two? Can you imagine how fast that news spread around the city? And the disciples are probably in a room all together saying, what in the world do we do? And whoever the scholar was of the bunch, man, do you remember any place where the prophet said the veil would be torn in two? I don't. I mean, they didn't have Bible, what do you call it, .com, BibleHub.com. They didn't have eSword. They didn't have Nave's Topical Bible to go back and begin to study and to search words like you and I have. They had to get the scroll of Isaiah out, the scroll of Jeremiah. They had to get the scroll out and begin to say, is this in the Bible? I mean, in the law of the prophets, that the veil of the temple would be torn in two. And you got to realize these guys were scared, man. And then in the middle of their scaredness, Jesus walks right through the wall. That'll scare you. That'll scare you. And now they're really freaked. Oh, my. And now here's the ghost. And what does Jesus say? Be not afraid. Yeah, right, Jesus. You just walk through the wall. Be not afraid. Are you serious? But wait, it's real. You got to let the disciples be real people. You can't take away the realness of who they were. Otherwise, you create this pseudo-psycho-Christianity that doesn't even exist. They were real men with real problems. Paul said, we hadn't eaten for 14 days and hadn't seen the sun for 14 days. The ship's going like this for 14 days. And they said, we think we're all going to die. That's a real person in a real life in a real situation. Is he the great apostle Paul? Yeah. But he still had to go to the captain of the ship and say, sir, you should have listened to me back in that port. And if you listen to me right now, the angel stood by me last night and said, nobody in this ship's going to die, but they better listen to it. He had to be that bold. He was that bold, and everybody lived, including Paul when he's standing by the fire getting warm and the snake bit him. When we get this revelation that we're one with God, and the Father lives in us, and Jesus lives in us, and the Holy Spirit lives in us, it truly is going to transform who you are. Because every person you talk to is a potential new believer. Now, don't go out everywhere and beat people over the head with your Bible and do stupid religious things. Just live your normal life. And as God leads you into that conversation with the person standing in front of you, then walk in there. And watch what he does in your life and in their life. In Jesus' mighty name. Should we read one more verse? Acts 10. Acts 10, 34, 35, 34 through 38. Now, you know, around here, it used to be we'd just read the whole chapter. Maybe we can get back to that. Here we go. Acts 10, 34 through 38. Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness. Whose righteousness? Works Jesus' righteousness. There's a verse right there that just said it. Another righteousness verse. Now watch. And works righteousness is accepted by him, Jesus. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he's the Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed through all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism of John. Look at this verse. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and you with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. And God is with him. In Jesus' name. Just like that, we're finished. Look what time it is. Some of you didn't even believe that was even possible. See, Jesus looked at the disciples that day and said, how is it I've been this long with you and you haven't figured out yet that it is not me that's doing these works, but the Father working through me? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. We're getting ready to receive our communion elements. Now listen to this. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never received him. John 3:16 says, as many as receive him. No, whosoever believes in him. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, as many as received him. So we're going to give you the opportunity right now at the beginning of communion to pray this prayer and to receive Jesus in your life. Our communion service is a little different than everybody else's, but it's all right. The communion service is the one God gave us to do. So follow along with us, and it'll be a blessing to you. First thing we're going to do is, now remember, I taught us a little earlier that you got to renew your mind to the ways of God and the Word of God. A lot of people that have said, if you don't belong to this church, you can't take communion. If you've sinned this week, don't take communion. And they give you this whole long list of things that's going to cause you not to receive communion. And all of that long list is exactly what Jesus says. If you had any of this happen to you, receive communion. And so God is saying to you right here, right now, tonight, receive communion with us. The first step is to examine yourself. Now, let me read these verses. I think I got ahead of myself. You ready? I'm going to read the verses now. 1 Corinthians 11:23-28 and verse 31. I received from the Lord that which I deliver to you. That's what Paul said, and that's what I'm saying. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took the bread. Now, I've got to teach you this so that it's not just juice and crackers. Took the bread, and when he blessed it, he gave thanks, and he said, take, eat. This is my body that was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, verse 25, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Well, see, that says something. You got to figure out what that means. As often as you drink this, drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you and me, we proclaim his death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Think about it. They had to have a whole Passover feast. I heard Dr. Barkley preaching about it the other day. He said, do you realize that means they had to eat the whole lamb? Everything. They had to eat the entrails inside of it. I don't know about that intro stuff. Verse 28. This is the process. Let a man examine himself. Don't examine the pastor. The pastor don't examine you. Let a man examine himself. And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31 says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love, God's love perfected in us this way, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Well, Pastor, what in the world does that mean? That means when you stand before Jesus, you're going to say, Jesus, I received your bread and body. I received you in my life. And I stand here boldly knowing I'm right with you. Why? Because as he is our Lord and Savior and the head of the body, so are we the body of Christ in this world. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. You ready? Fear, go now!
Fear, go now.
Perfect love cast out the fear. Now, I heard Bill Johnson said, no shaking and no screaming. All the Pentecostals said, why would we ever listen to what that man said anyway? I like the shaking and the screaming. Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation. I have the words here in a shareable presentation. And I like to do it this way because that way everybody gets to say the words right out loud and we can cut our time of communion in half so we don't have to repeat each line. Ready? What's next? Do I have to like push another button over here? I got it.
Got it?
Here we go. Hold on just a second. There you go. Everybody pray this with me. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy. Hold on, I forgot to move the words up. All of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now think about this. God Almighty, through Jesus, by the Spirit, just came and made his home right on the inside of you. People say, man, Pastor, I feel like hot oil. One guy said, warm honey. One guy said, it's like you got doused in a big bucket of water. One young lady said to me, why'd you throw water on me? I'm like, I didn't throw water on you. She said, yes, you did. Chalmer did it. I'm like, Chalmer don't have no water. We ain't throwing water around up here. She goes, yes, you did. I'm like, check your shirt. She checked her shirt. It was a color that would have showed water, you know, like it was like a green color. She's like, it's dry. I'm like, wait, we don't throw water on people? She goes, that's amazing. She goes, that was the most wonderful piece, because she went out. She flew right out of her shoes. Went back and hit her head on the first in the pew seat. Nobody even touched her. You're like, woo, I just saw that happen. And she said to her boyfriend, who was freaked, that's the most wonderful peace I have ever experienced in my life. See, that's what you're experiencing is peace. It's not a feeling like love, but you will feel love. It's not happiness, but you're going to be happy because sin's gone. Right? Hold on. I'd take a picture. Now, here's what's going on. You went from darkness to light. You went from fear to faith. You went from sin to Jesus' righteousness. And now you're an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. My place in your life, as long as you let me, is to help you know God. And I encourage you to stick around. We're up to like 185 people now, aren't we? 187 on YouTube for subscribers. That's awesome. 53 nations of the world. That's awesome. God is God. Now watch this. Our place is to help you walk with God. My email address is right down there in the notes of the program. Send me an email. Ask me 1,000 questions. Some of you said, question number one. You know, it'd be all right if you asked me all the way to 1,000. It would. It would. He rewards those who diligently seek him. So I challenge you to it. Now, that's what we're here for. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell so we can help you walk with God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen?
Amen.
Here we go. You ready? I want to say this about these words. Now, you might be somebody. I know I have a tendency to read real fast. Well, that's because I'm juiced on the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to slow down. I'm going to learn to slow down. You might have to be somebody that takes your finger and just puts it right on the screen and points to each word to say it. That's okay. You will learn to read better by reading along with us and saying the words out loud. I give Sister Leanne permission today to just continually say, slow down. Right? Because I want it to be a blessing. Everything we're getting ready to say right now is straight out of the Word of God. About the body of Christ, that's what this is, and his blood that was shed, that's what this is. It's right out of there. So if you're someone that you got to point to each word, do it. Because we want you to be a part of it. Ready? Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body. And this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, in my will, and in my emotion. There is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. You endured the cross, despising the shame. And the Holy Word of God said you counted it all joy. Thank you that you loved us that much. And now, I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever. No condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus'
mighty name.
Amen and amen. Let's receive it together. Hallelujah. Now, let's sing Andre Crouch's song tonight. I expect to hear some of you singing up in the rafters and some of you down in the basement. But let's all just sing it. Are you ready? The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power.
Lord.
Now, Sister Phyllis?
Yes?
Do you have verses to read?
I have Jude. Hand me. Looking at it.
Well, have at it.
All right. Verses 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, the glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And Revelation 1, 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Amen. And every time I read it, it just thrills me all over again.
Amen.
You're a good reader.
I agree, Phyllis. I love that. To him be glory and honor and majesty and power both now and forever. Amen. And amen. And amen. You want to just pray a simple prayer? Say, Lord, tonight, give me a dream.
Lord, tonight, give me a dream.
And deep sleep.
And deep sleep.
And a hundredfold return.
And a hundredfold return. Amen.
And the blessing of the Lord.
And the blessing of the Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Mighty name.
Well, I'd love to stay and talk, but I got to go. So all y'all, while you're sleeping tonight, I'm going to be out there driving truck, and I'm going to be praying for all y'all. So you better be having some dreams.
Well, I'm going to be watching this over again because the whole program was so good. I might have missed something. I don't know. I definitely don't want to.
It depends how many pieces of shrimp you actually ate while we was having a program.
Yeah. Well, I got some more shrimp.
You do?
I got some left. I wish I could have shared it with you. My daughter's a good cook, honey.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we want to say goodnight to all of you on YouTube, all of you on Blog Talk Radio. Share this with everyone you know. I mean it when I say share it. Share it.
I will.
And share it with the sinners. Share it with the saints. Share it.
I call you all blessed.
Share it with everybody.
Thank you. And God bless all of you.
Now remember, till we see you again, this is what we have to say. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Good night.
See you soon.
Bye.